The scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 2, the great historical event of Pentecost. That is a marvelous, marvelous holiday for the church. A great truth that Jesus Christ loves us and remembers us and sent his Spirit to dwell in us. Listen to the word of God. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own tongue the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, "I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the path of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence." Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that he would set one of his descendants upon his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he himself says, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all that are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the story of Pentecost. What a blessed truth that is. Before we open this, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the great gift of the Holy Spirit. O Holy Spirit of God, dwell in our hearts. Grant us your anointing and your power and your presence. And help us to bring that word and to receive that word with joy and gladness in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ our Lord, the day of Pentecost is a very special day. It's the birthday of the New Testament church. It's the birthday of the day when Christ fulfilled his great promise. That he said to them, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. And he came to them in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. You remember how the Nicene Creed puts it. And I believe in the Holy Spirit of God, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who together with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, and who spoke by the prophets. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity, and the Holy Spirit is not just an influence. You know, there's an expression, like for example, when Charles Lindbergh flew across the Atlantic, he flew in a plane, and the name of the plane was the Spirit of St. Louis. And we hear about at the bicentennial of our country, we heard about the Spirit of 76. And you hear about the Spirit of Abraham Lincoln. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is unique. The Holy Spirit is not just a feeling. The Holy Spirit is not just an influence. The Holy Spirit is a real person. He is the third person of the Holy Trinity. He is equal to the Father and the Son, and He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and He is worshipped and glorified right along with the Father and the Son. We follow the Word of God, which teaches us that there is one God, who is worshipped in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God the Father in our creation, God the Son in our redemption, God the Holy Spirit in our sanctification. But the Holy Spirit is truly a real person. He is God in us. The Lord Jesus is God with us, but the Holy Spirit is God in us. On the day of Pentecost, they were all together in one place, and they were all mentioned in the previous chapter. And among them were 120 of his followers. And among them were Mary, his mother, and other women. They were all among the 120. And on this day of Pentecost, they were together in one place, and all of a sudden there was the sound of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the place where they were, and tongues of fire appeared and rested on each one of them, and they were all able to speak in other languages that they hadn't learned. And it was clearly a divine act of God. It was the power of God. And it wasn't the first time the Holy Spirit was active. The Holy Spirit is active throughout the entire history of the Bible. The first reference to the Holy Spirit is in Genesis 1, verse 2. Genesis 1, 1, as you recall, says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was waste and void, and the Spirit of God brooded over the waters." Now the word brooded or hovered is a word that comes from birds. A bird hovers over the nest. And you read in Deuteronomy 33 of how and 32 of how, "As an eagle hovers over its young, so the Lord hovered over the children of Israel." And there in Genesis 1 verse 2, the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. What did the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit did what He always does. He gives life. The Holy Spirit, as the Nicene Creed says, is the Lord and giver of life. The Lord, by the Holy Spirit, impregnated that vast earth that God had made with life, so that when God spoke, "Let there be light," it happened. And when God said, "Let the waters teem with fishes," it happened, because the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life. Psalm 104 says, "Thy Spirit, O God, makes life to abound. The earth is renewed and fruitful the ground." It's the Holy Spirit that gives life to everything that lives. We can't create life. It's God that is the life giver. And it's the Holy Spirit who is the Lord and giver of life. The Holy Spirit is present certainly throughout the Old Testament. He's present in the New Testament. In fact, you read about the architects and the builders of the old tabernacle in Exodus 31. And it says that these two men were filled with the Holy Spirit to be the architect and builder of the tabernacle. So the Holy Spirit is involved in everything that deals with the Lord. He deals with everything. And so here on that particular day, these 120 were in that upper room. And all of a sudden, the sound of the rushing mighty wind came, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, gave them power. It was a great day of the Lord. It was the birthday of the church. It was a new day. And what a difference it made. You know, Peter, at the death of Jesus, at his trial, denied he even knew Jesus. He denied him, and he did it with curses. And here on the day of Pentecost, Peter is filled with the Spirit, and he is bold, and he's speaking forth, and he's telling the story of Jesus. And there were probably people that heard it who heard him deny Christ at one time. What a change! What's the secret of that change? Peter still looked the same. He had the same personality. But something had uniquely happened to Peter. He was now filled with the Holy Spirit. And do you know what that happens to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ? A change takes place. We are no longer the old person that we used to be. A change takes place because Christ comes into our life by the Holy Spirit. He dwells within us. He gives us a new heart. Jesus explained this to Nicodemus, the leader of the Jews. Nicodemus came to him at night. He was afraid of the Jews. He was afraid of colleagues and his peer group. So he comes to Jesus at night so they don't see him. And he says to Jesus, you know, I know that you've got something that no one else has. You've got to be from God. No one can do what you're doing. Jesus said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus says, you mean I've got to be born as a baby? No, Jesus says, I'm not talking about that. That which is flesh is flesh. I'm natural, that is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that which is born of the Spirit. And then he uses an illustration that really came to pass on Pentecost. He said, the wind blows where it will, and you hear the sound of it. And he didn't say this, but he could just as well have. You see the trees move by that wind. You know that the wind is blowing, but you don't know where it started, and you don't know where it's going to stop. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is like the wind. And on the day of Pentecost, there it was, a sound of a mighty rushing wind. Now, there's something unique about wind. You and I can't produce wind. Well, you can with a fan, but that's artificial. You and I cannot control wind. Wind happens. We can harness wind. With a sailboat, we can harness wind and make the sailboat move by the power of the wind. And windmills move by the power of the wind. So it can be harnessed, but you cannot produce wind. Wind happens. Wind is sovereign. It's powerful. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit. And on that day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit appeared as a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were. And that noise drew the attention of the whole community. And everybody came together to hear, to see what was going on. And they said, what's going on? And then some mockingly said, these are all drunk. Peter said, they're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning and no one gets drunk in the morning. These are not drunk as you suppose, but this is a fulfillment of what God spoke in the book of Joel. In the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it's a fulfillment of the prophecy of the book of Joel. And Joel begins the talk about the Holy Spirit by saying, in these last days. You know, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is the crowning of Jesus' work. It's the crowning of Jesus' work. But it's also the beginning of a new age. It's the beginning of a new era. That's why it is called in the last days. The last days began on the day of Pentecost. It began in the time when Jesus ascended into heaven and sent forth his Holy Spirit. The last days began then. That Pentecost is the morning of the last day. We are still in that last day. The last day will end when Jesus comes again, and his second coming will also be with natural phenomena, with natural catastrophes, earthquakes. The moon will change to blood. You heard me read that. There will be signs in heaven and signs on earth when Jesus comes again. That will be the end of that last day. But the beginning of the last day was when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church. It was a marvelous day. Now, how do you know if you have the Holy Spirit? You know, in the book of Acts, Paul went to Ephesus in chapter 19. And he says to the people of Ephesus, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" And they said, "We've never heard of the Holy Spirit." And so Paul preaches to them Jesus, and they believed in Jesus, and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. You read of that in Acts 19. So the question is, have you received the Holy Spirit? You've certainly heard of the Holy Spirit. Has the Holy Spirit come into your life? Well, let me tell you, there are signs. There are definite signs to show whether we have the Holy Spirit or not. One of them is this: do you love Jesus? If you love Jesus, it's because the Holy Spirit is in your heart. Because the Bible says no one can say Jesus is Lord unless the Holy Spirit tells you, unless the Holy Spirit changes you. And the second sign is not only to love Jesus, but you got to love His Word. Because the Word and the Spirit are one. They're one. It is the Holy Spirit that gave us the Word. Remember how Peter says this, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And Paul says, "All Scripture is inspired of God. It's filled with the Holy Spirit." It's the Holy Spirit that gave the writers of the Bible the wisdom to write. It's the Holy Spirit behind that. Paul says, you remember how Paul says in Ephesians 6 about the equipment of a Christian? And one of the equipments, the only offensive piece of equipment is the sword. And he says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There is an identity between the Holy Spirit and the Word. This Word, this Bible, is the result of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inspired it. That's why the Word of God is absolutely true. It is inspired of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit and the Word are very closely connected. The Spirit inspired the Word. The Spirit also instructs us and illuminates us to understand the Word. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, those who do not have the Spirit don't understand the Word. In fact, those who do not have the Spirit say the Bible is foolishness to them. They don't get it. They don't get it. But when the Holy Spirit comes into our heart and instructs us and illuminates us, we not only get it, we love it. And we say, this Word is a cherished Word. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Oh, how I love Thy Word, O Lord. You see, that's a mark of the presence of the Spirit in your life. Another mark is this: those who have the Holy Spirit love the church. They love the church. Because the church is the body of Christ gathered by the Holy Spirit. On that day of Pentecost, there were 3,000 who were saved. That's the church. And then the next verse says, and those who were saved continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. That's the church. That's the church. So if you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you love Jesus, you love His Word, and you love His church. Now let me tell you something. There's one sin that Jesus says is not forgiven. And that's the sin against the Holy Spirit. You know what sin that is? It's resisting the Holy Spirit. It's a sin of not repenting at all from any sin that we've done. It's a resistance against the Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know how you grieve the Holy Spirit? Paul says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All those things grieve the Holy Spirit. But he says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another even as God in Christ has forgiven you. And be ye imitators of God as dear children, and put on love. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, patience, humility, self-control. And against such things there is no law. In other words, these are things we've got to do all the time. The fruit of the Spirit comes up within us by the Spirit's power. He produces it. And so anything that's good and God glorifying and Christ honoring is all due to the Spirit. We are so dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Everything, every day, every moment. In fact, Paul says in Romans 8:26, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit who dwells within us makes intercession for us with groanings that are too deep for words. And the Holy Spirit, who knows the mind of God, conforms our prayers to the mind of God and to His will. Oh, no wonder we say, dwell in me, O blessed Spirit, gracious teacher, friend divine, for the home of bliss that waits me, O prepare this heart of mine. And everyone said, our Father in heaven, we thank you for the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, light divine, shine within this heart of mine. O Lord our God, we thank you that you are abiding with us forever. Help us to love Jesus more, to love your word more, and to love your church. Lord in heaven, bless us this day. Forgive all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.